This morning we're turning to our New Year's text, Psalm 42 and verse 11. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The same verse is found in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. I want this morning to ask a New Year's question, and I'm going this evening then in Psalm 43 to speak about a New Year's resolution. And I urge you to come and hear God's word tonight. I believe these two psalms deserve to be taken together. But here is the question. The New Year's question. It's a question for us at Morton so often, it may even be a question for you this morning perhaps. You see, there are some familiar faces not here, and you think, it's looking a little bit empty this morning, and it begins to make you feel a bit down. Here is the question, why? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? I want to speak this morning about three things. Losing hope, gaining hope, keeping hope. There was some news recently. An article on the BBC website, and I think it was in the news as well, about the danger of our young people who are jobless becoming what they called the young hopeless. And in this article, this presentation, there was a great sense of concern. There is something quite terrible, it seems, well, we know there is, about losing hope, about being hopeless. Something quite distressing about it. And I think even the psalmist has it here. Why are you disquieted within me? Cast down. Why are you disquieted? Thomas Fuller, writing in the 15th century, said, hope is the only tie that keeps the heart from breaking. Hope is the only tie that keeps the heart from breaking. This psalm is written from the perspective of a believer. I believe it's written by David. Many of the psalms are psalms of David. This one doesn't put his name on it, but I think it's got his finger marks all over it, and it sounds like him. So if you'll forgive me, this morning and this evening, I'm going to be assuming that it's his psalm. Here is a Christian then, writing. King David. And he seems to be losing hope. Now, of course, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who believe in God and have been born again by the Spirit of God, Christians in the true sense of the word, and then there is everybody else who are not. And I need to speak about both kinds of person this morning under this heading of losing hope, because there is a startling fact to face about being a non-Christian and the subject of hope. A non-Christian, you see, cannot lose hope. Do you know why? It's because they don't have hope. It's very simple. We read from Ephesians 2:12. You, says Paul, were without Christ, having no hope. That's the reality. You see, Christians have hope and they can begin to lose it. But a non-Christian has no hope in the first place. To lose hope, you've got to have hope. And if you have no Jesus, if you're not saved, if you don't have a relationship with God, you are a promise-less person. Yes, it's on the clipboards. promised less, if you're wondering what that is. There are many promises in the Bible. Promises for life. Promises for death. Promises for eternity. But they're not for outsiders. They're for the people of God. You're promiseless if you're not a Christian. And you are hopeless too. In life, endless seeking after meaning and purpose, endless seeking after relationship, and all of this with no Heavenly Father and no Son who reveals Him to us. That's life. Hopeless. Death. What is death if you're not a Christian? It's a leap in the dark. That's what it is. That's why it's terrifying. It's a leap in the dark. There is no hand to hold you, but death has a hold on you, and you can't shake that grip. But you've got no one to hold your hand. It's a leap in the dark. That's death. Life, death. What about the future? This is serious stuff. Hopeless unbelievers. What's the future? The future is nothing. The future is nothing. You've not got one. And to be honest, there's no point. This is so harsh, it sounds so harsh, but this is serious. There is no point welcoming into the world a newborn child who lives without hope and has no future. There is no point, unbelievers, celebrating your birthdays as year follows year. It's futile. It's purposeless. You've got an aimless existence with a pointless end. It's blunt, but it's true. This is reality. Now, it's not probable that there's anyone here who would call themselves an atheist. So you may not be what we would call without God. But it is more than probable that there are people here who are not born again. You may believe in God, but you're still without Christ. You may not be without God, you may believe in God, but you are without Christ. And therefore, says Paul, you are without hope. We are here to speak about hope. How you can lose it, how you can gain it, how you can keep it. But you can't lose what you do not have. This is solemn. But this is the word to those who are without Christ. And this comes from the Puritan Thomas Brooks. I saw this and I had to say it. Without Christ, God is incommunicable. He cannot be understood. He cannot be explained. Without Christ, God is incomprehensible. Without Christ, God is very terrible. Without Christ, God is inaccessible. If you are without Christ, you are without hope. You might not call yourself an atheist. You might say, well, I believe in God, but you may as well be one for all the good it will do you to say, I believe in God, and to not know Jesus Christ. You need to turn to Christ to gain real hope. But what of the Christian? What of the believer who is losing hope? Why? This is the question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why should a Christian who has hope begin to lose it? Well, why indeed that it happens? Look at David's experience here in the Psalm. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God. When shall I come and appear before God? He is kept away from the place of worship, from the temple, if indeed it is there. He is mocked in verse 3
by haters of God, and it brings him to weep. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And this is David in the face of hostility, and it brings to our minds the hostile world in which we live. It is a continual barrage of this: where is your God? They say it all the time. Where is your God? This is the challenge to the church today. Paul and David's circumstances are very hard. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and of praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He has known much better times than the times he currently lives in. He's had much happier experiences, and those memories of better things make his present situation seem even worse. Well, the church today has known better times. It's also known worse times, is worth pointing out. And circumstances in life can be so overwhelming. Look at verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Sometimes in life, it's like a flood surge, and we've seen plenty of that in recent days. You've seen the news, you may even have seen some evidence yourself at first hand if you've gone to take a look. The surging tides, the rising currents, the battering of the waves, and it is as though you, the Christian, are the sea wall, and it's wave after wave after wave, bang, 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 trouble after trouble, spilling over you, it's overwhelming you, it's drowning you. All of these things press in on you. They all press in. It seems relentless, and as if it's not bad enough, look at verse 10. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say all day long, where is your God? David, where is your God? Your own son Absalom has seized the throne and rebelled against you. Half your kingdom has turned against you. You're hiding out, you're fleeing. Where is your God? Where is your God? If he was real, if he was powerful, why are you in the state you're in? People look at the church today and they say, well, if God was so great, why are the churches in such a poor state? Not all churches are, it's true, but in general it is true. Where is your God? I think we can understand, can't we, why Christians begin to lose hope. I think we can, if we're fair. And I think we all have to admit that there are times in our lives when we begin to lose hope too. So how can we renew it? How can we refresh it? If we're not Christians at all, how can we get it? Here it is, gaining hope. Hope in God. Verse 11. Hope in God. Just three words to us. What does it mean though? Where does it have any effect? What's it all about? Well, the reason it has an effect, and the reason it is powerful, is that the key word in the sentence, hope in God, is not hope. God. Hope in God. Because hope in God is different from any other kind of hope, any other category of hope. David gives us three hints in his psalm here as to the character of God, particularly. three signposts. And even in the midst of his despair and his sorrow, these wonderful truths about God are scattered through like jewels. Look at verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Thirsting. The living God. He's not dead. He is alive and active and aware and involved. He knows. He sees you. He knows what is in your heart. He knows the troubles that you are facing. He knows the trials perhaps of your health, or the stress placed upon you by family circumstances or work or whatever it may be. He knows. He knows even the depths of your soul and the despair perhaps you sometimes feel over your own sin and your ineffectiveness as a Christian. He knows that. He knows your struggles. He knows it all. The living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Yes, He died, but He is risen. It's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. On this day, He rose. He's the living God. He is also the loving God. Look at verse 8. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. He is a loving God. We have the ultimate understanding of this, the ultimate realization of this in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He so loved the world. He is the loving God. And you say, well, where is the third point, or where is the third gem? It's in verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? God, my rock. He's unchanging. He's steadfast and secure. He is the rock in which you can hide in the cleft from all the storms of life. He is the firm foundation upon which you can build your life. While the storms may rage, He is the solid ground. Foundation for life, certainty in death, security to all eternity. God, my rock. So the question, where are you cast down, begins to seem like a valid one. Yes, there are reasons why Christians lose hope, but really, we shouldn't. Hope in God. This is something that all of us may do. Every single one. Hope in God. Because God is God, whoever I am. Whatever I've done, wherever I've been, whatever I've said, God is God. The living God, the loving God, my rock. I'll be gaining hope when I hope in God. But what is hope? What is biblical hope? Another little quote from John Blanchard says it better than anything else I've seen. Hope is biblical shorthand for unconditional certainty. It's not a vague thing. I hope to see my friends next week. I hope I may get a bonus at the end of this financial year. I hope this. I hope that. Hoping God is unconditional certainty.
Whatever I have been, whatever I have said and done, I know I cannot earn God's favor. My standing with God is derived from Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His death at Calvary's cross. I trust in Him. My hope, therefore, is unconditional because He has met all the conditions. And it is certain because He has redeemed me by His own precious blood. Hope in God. If you're not a Christian believer, you need this hope. You've got none otherwise. Dear Christian friends, this morning at Morton, we need this hope. We do. And the pastoral letter this month is specific about some of the challenges that face us. They're great challenges. We have a great need for growth, but not perhaps the growth you're thinking about. I want to say more about this tonight. I do encourage you to come, and if you can't come, then find a way to listen to the message. It's so important. We've seen how a non-Christian has no hope. We've seen how the Christian can lose hope. But once we gain hope, perhaps for the first time, or we regain the hope we had lost, how do we keep it? How do we keep it? Keeping hope, how can we do it? David says at the end of the psalm, I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. This is a statement of great hope. He's not just telling us Himself to hope in God, He's actually doing it. I shall yet praise Him. It's a statement of certainty, isn't it? He says, I shall. He said, well, it's all right for David. He was a great man, a strong-minded man. He said, what about me? What can I do? How can I keep my hope? David is confident that he will praise God yet. Not because of himself, but because of God. It's there in the text. I shall yet praise Him. He shall be the help of my countenance and my God. You say, well, that's not there in the text, but that's the reality, isn't it? I shall yet praise Him. He is the help of my countenance. This is who He is. He is the one who is going to lift up my countenance, my fallen face, my sad face, and bring me back to joy and peace and happiness again. It's Him. I shall yet praise Him. Nothing to do with me, because He is the help of my countenance and my God. My salvation. He is my salvation. It's not about me. It's about who He is. I can hope in Him because He is my salvation. It ends not with me and my hope, this psalm, but with God. David reminds us here in the way in which we can keep our hope. Verse 4, he says, I pour out my soul within me. You need to pour out your soul to God day by day. Stay close to Him in your prayer, in your times of contemplation, meditation on the Word of God. Pour out your soul. He reminds us in verse 6, I will remember you. Even in times of exile, as it were for David, in difficulty and being shut out of his palaces, I will remember you, he says. The key in all of this is God. Real hope is only possible in God, through God. So hear Him in His Word. Seek Him in your prayer. Trust Him with all your heart. Why are you cast down? If you hope in
God. You will no longer be so. You'll have hope for life, hope for death, hope for eternity in our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's no hope without Him, because He is hope. May God bless us and help us, each one.